141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a busy day and after a big weekend across Scottish football. Danny Rowell is the new head coach of Rangers, bringing to an end the search for Russell Martin's successor. That does not tell the full story, because late last night it was revealed Kevin Muscat was out of the running. And elsewhere, Brendan Rodgers says he's been asked to drive a Honda Civic like a Ferrari after Celtic lose in Dundee as Hearts lead the way. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
A dazzling domestic weekend with a bit of an international feel for you, Gordon. Rangers unwilling to wait to get an Australian out of China. They've now turned to a German who'll take charge for the first time in Norway on Thursday. Brendan Rodgers wants that Italian Ferrari rather than the Japanese Honda Civic, but it was an own goal from an American past the Dane that sealed Celtic's fate at Dundee, and Hearts' new Portuguese darling has put them 5 points clear. It's going to be a great race to the finish.
That was poetic. I can't match that. That was outstanding.
He's been working on that all afternoon.
And I know we say this a lot, Gordon, but how can we fit everything into this 2 hours? So I'm going to keep this very, very short and sweet. Rangers have now finally appointed their man, but was he their man? Because it's looked as if they were trying to go for another two in there as well. And there's been a lot of narrative, a lot of hype talking about, can Hearts split the Old Firm? Can Hearts win the league? They might have got another one on that bandwagon sitting here.
Come on down, 01419511025. It's nights like this that Clyde One Super Scoreboard were made for, when you've got a new manager at one of Glasgow's big two, or head coach, should I say. Danny Rowell is in. The search for Russell Martin's successor is over. But what a search it's been, because last night I fully expected us to be discussing the fact that it wasn't Kevin Muscat. I thought we'd get a few hours to let that news digest, but Rangers have acted certainly quickly today, if not quickly overall, and Danny Rowell is the man. So all your thoughts, please. As Andy says, we easily could extend the show on that one topic alone, so let's not hang around. 01419511025. What do you make of Danny Rowell? Is he the right man? How do you think he fits? What have you made of the search? What about Kevin Muscat pulling out last night? Etc, etc. We've been doing this for weeks, but now we've got a bit of a headline to finish it all off. Danny Rowell, new head coach of Rangers, give us your thoughts, please. Celtic fans, on any other night, it might be wall-to-wall crisis talk for your club. A 2-0 defeat away to Dundee, a first defeat in the City of Discovery since before Andy Halliday or myself were born. You were born. Don't know what you're looking at, Roger Hanna.
You know something? It was the week I started working in full-time journalism.
Oh, there you go.
September 1988, my first shift at the Carrick Gazette in Girvan, and Tommy Coyne scored the winner for Dundee against Celtic.
That's enough for tonight's history lesson. Celtic fans, what's happening? Brendan Rodgers, as if the performance and result wasn't big enough, Brendan Rodgers then coming out with that quote that he's been asked to drive a Honda Civic like it's a Ferrari. Clearly another dig at, well, his players, you could say, in terms of the quality that they're at and the strength of the squad he's been given. What do you make of it all? Hearts fans, you must just be loving this. Glasgow as a collective is in crisis as you sit pretty at the top of the table. Haven't even mentioned the fact that Rangers dropped points at home against Dundee United at the weekend, by the way.
I'm sure that will come
and
up.
And the two of you have done well not to mention VAR.
Just you wait. 01419511025. I'm hoping my esteemed colleague here won't let me down.
Don't you worry, I've got your back.
As we give out some awards while the calls come in. Result of the weekend, go.
Well, I've got to go for Dundee. We've just mentioned the stats that back it up. 1988, an incredibly long time, as Roger can tell you. And I tell you what, fully merited it as well. So, Dundee.
Loads of candidates. I saw Hibs put 4 past Livy for Super Scoreboard. They were outstanding. Hearts get 3 at Killie. They were outstanding. I'm going to go for Aberdeen. They were bottom of the league. They hadn't won at St Mirren in the league in 7 years. And they've gone there and they've dug out a 1-0 Marko Lazetic last minute. And they look a different outfit now.
We will inevitably get stuck into crisis and madness and negativity, but maybe a nod to how good the goals were this weekend.
Wow.
The old cliche, if these were other leagues, it would be beamed around everywhere and everyone would be waxing lyrical. So go on, you had a tough choice. What was your goal of the weekend?
Yeah, quite rightly said. So many choices to choose from. The catalogue this weekend was pretty impressive, but I'm going to go for Telo Asgard. He's... I mean, myself, I've given him a bit of criticism for his impact so far at Rangers, but it's because you can see in flashes he's got so much more to offer. His best performance at Rangers jersey, fantastic goal to go along with it, but not enough to get Rangers that first home win in 5 months.
Well, I'm going to go for Ibrahim Said for... Oh, no, hang on a wee minute, no.
Steady.
Sorry, boys. By the way, you talk about Asgard. What? There will not be a game this season where four goals have scored in the one game of such high quality. Trapanovsky, great goal. Tavernier, great goal. Asgard, you're quite right, was terrific. I'm going to go Craig Sybald. He doesn't get many, and he caught it as sweetly as you're going to catch anything. A great goal for Dundee United.
How that Aberdeen winner doesn't make it into your top two is a sign of just how good it was this weekend.
Yeah, I think for the benefit of Scott Tanzer, we're not putting it in the top two.
That's magnificent. Andy, do not let me down. Howler of the weekend.
I don't know who to brandish more of the blame to, Steve McLean and his VAR team. So we'll go for the full combination. I don't know how passionate I can go on this because I do feel really passionate about it, but I think it's just an abysmal decision. I really do. It's Stephen McLean's got a fantastic view of it, sees it perfectly correct for me. Gets sent to the monitor. You know, if you brought VAR in and the big stigma you didn't want was to re-referee the game, I don't think it's possible to re-referee the game more than the incident we've seen at the weekend.
See, the thing is, Roger, I usually worry that we get him a ban by the Scottish FA, but does that matter when you're not playing anyway?
Abysmal decision, said Motherwell's Halliday. Sorry, carry on.
But you'd agree with him, wouldn't you?
Oh, I was absolutely stinking. I was going to make the point. I was going to let you two sweat for a wee while tonight. But if I can be the neutral among us, it's an absolutely abysmal decision, to quote Andy Halliday. It reminded me, remember the one earlier in the season, Fulham had a goal disallowed at Stamford Bridge, and then Howard Webb came in the telly a few days later and said that goal should never have been disallowed. There was 10 times more contact in the Fulham-Chelsea one than there was in the Motherwell goal. It's an inexplicably bad decision. And we'll move on to the St Mirren one in a wee while, because that's 50% as bad.
Not sure I agree with that. Anyway, your howler of the weekend, did you give us one?
I'm actually going to go as a unit, the Kilmarnock back four or five, whatever it was. How can you leave Craig Halkett in an acre of space for the first goal and then just give the ball away to Hearts for the second and third goal? I actually thought Kelly were okay at times in that game, but you are the authors of your own downfall if you defend like that.
Okay, top man, top performer goes to...
All we hear is...
Claudio Braga.
That man, he's been... Do you know what? I was really close to giving it to Kizeridis because I just think he's the type of player I just love watching. Just so positive, so direct. Every time he gets a ball, he wants to influence the game. But because that man, Claudio Braga, got a couple of goals to go joint top of the goal scoring charts with Dolcek, I'm going to edge towards him. But, I mean, what a fantastic signing. It just shows you this analytics for Tony Bloom in Jamestown. They don't half find some good gems, so... Kizzy did just come this for the Slovakian. Bottom six that team was as well. And Claudio Braga come for second division in Norway.
Amazingly, coincidentally, his goals just flashed up on the television in here. I'm going to go for Clark Robertson of Dundee. That was his first top flight goal of his career. He then kept a clean sheet and he managed to get rid of demons from 15 years ago when, as a 17-year-old, he was in the Aberdeen team that lost 9-0 at Celtic Park. Well done, Clark. You've taken your time, but well done.
Let's get stuck in. 01419511025 on the day. Rangers appointed a new head coach. That man is Danny Rowe. Let's get John in Rothsay to give us his immediate reaction. What do you think, John?
Good evening, gents. How are we doing?
Hi, good. John.
How are you doing, John?
Aye, no bad. No, as I said to the producer there, it's, where did they get him? It must be Asda price, eh? Because they've rolled it back. If it hadn't been for Thewell and that Stewart, we would have had Gerrard or Muscat at Ibrox. And Andy, if you had seen that banner that was at the front of the Sandy Jardine up by Club 72 on Saturday, the words are there in the making for that too. You know what I mean? It's like Billy Smart Circus with you two up there. What do you think, guys?
So let me get this straight, though. Are you against Danny Rowe, or is this more to do with the process and the way that it's come around?
No, I'm against Danny Rowe. He's 36-year-old.
Right.
He's not proven anywhere. He was with Sheffield Wednesday, 20th in the table, 12th in the table. That's no Rangers class.
What do What do you think, Andy? Give us your immediate reaction. This was the day we kind of wondered when it would come, when Rangers eventually appointed someone.
It's been an extremely long process. Looked as if it was going to be Stevie Gerrard. Then looked as if Danny Rowe was in contention. He withdrew his intentions for the job. Then it looked as if Kevin Muscat was all but seen come Saturday morning. And then incredibly, he then rules himself out of the run as well. So we just go back to Danny Rowe, and now he's here. You know, I actually, when I heard it was set to be him, I said, I need to wait for an announcement, because you just don't know what's going to happen just now. And do you know what? I don't think he's Rangers fans' first choice, don't get me wrong, but I think now he's been appointed, I think the majority will get behind them. But I tell you what, John, I don't think
John's been practising his Asda price gag all day.
I don't think it's too dissimilar to the Russell Martin appointment, in terms of they'll get behind him at the start, but he probably, if we're being honest, has to start his tenure pretty well, and it's going to be obviously a difficult start on Thursday night. Regarding the backroom staff in the background, I think we've all noticed and we've all established how toxic the atmosphere has been at Rangers. You felt as if the change was needed with Russell Martin, that happened. I just don't think it's going to stop here, Gordon. I think the positions are Kevin Fairwell and Patrick Stewart. I think the toxicity and the protests are now just going to be directed their way, because I think the way this recruitment process for a manager's panned out is really not looked pretty at all, given the way it's panned out. And I think that, on top of that, I just think everything that's gone in the past, I think, you know, after Chermitti's performance at the weekend, after Kevin Fairway having his son as head of recruitment, I think it's all just bubbling and boiling over. And given how this process has went, I think Rangers fans' frustration are going to be directed towards them.
I don't know whether to ask you, Roger, what you make of Danny Rowe's appointment, because it feels like that's what we would normally do. But it also feels like immediately your eyes are drawn to how it got here, which maybe it isn't his fault either. You know, maybe unfair circumstances for him to kick off.
None of it's Danny Rowe's fault. Tradition demands it on a night like this. You wish a new manager well, and I think Danny Rowe will need everyone's good wishes. Danny Rowe will not know what he's walked into here. I'm quite surprised they went for Danny Rowe. I thought they would have learned the lessons of going for 39-year-old Russell Martin, who had never had a job like Rangers in the past, didn't have a particularly good win record in the English Championship, had a dreadful time in the English Premier League, wasn't wanted by the fans.
Does this mean that all managers in there, I'll stick up for 30-somethings here, this Russell Martin 2.0 thing, is it a bit lazy?
The point of that is, I think people who succeed at these jobs are guys who are ready for these jobs, guys who have had a degree of success in their careers. I don't just mean at Rangers, I mean at Celtic as well. You know, you think of Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou, Gordon Strachan, Martin O'Neill, Walter Smith, Dick Advocaat, Alan McLeish. They'd all won things. They all knew what it was like, what was needed to bring success to the football club. They were all sort of ready for the job, if you like. I'm not sure Danny Rowe is ready for this. To walk into the toxicity that Andy talks about, to walk into banners saying, if you don't pack your bags, Stewart and Thelwell, we'll pack them for you. Rangers' last away game, they couldn't get the bus out the car park because supporters were blockading it in. The last manager had to be secreted away with a police escort from Falkirk. Danny Rowe's used to taking Sheffield Wednesday to Preston and been happy with a 1-1 draw. I don't think that prepares him for what he's going into. And what Rangers needed was someone who was prepared. I wasn't a huge fan of Stephen Gerrard, won trophy in 9, but I think he would have understood the job better. Kevin Muscat's about to win his 5th league title in 3 different countries. I would have been tempted to wait a month and get Kevin Muscat. But listen, I sit here waiting to be completely proved wrong. And as we do with all managers, good luck, Danny.
Johnny does have a good coaching background and worked at some big clubs and under some big managers. And you mentioned Sheffield Wednesday, but by all accounts, the circumstances were very difficult. Is there none of that that's making you want to just give this guy a chance and see how it pans out early days?
No, definitely no chance.
Oh, well.
I think we'll be a laughing stock. We've still got a few days in October to get rid of him, though. Always do the deals in October.
I mean, listen, I'm sure it's just one man's opinion, but John, if there are other Johns out there, Danny Rowe needs to hit the ground running. They all do, don't they? They always do. But then, does this feel different because of the manner of the search, the way that it's it's panned out. Who was your number one choice? Was Steven Gerrard, yeah, right, throughout this?
But can I tell
how
you why
did he get to this?
Why that was my number one choice is that I'm a big believer in that you never know if a managerial appointment is going to be a good one till they're in the door. Now, I know people that have worked with Danny Rowan, they tell me how good he is, but you really get to see what players think about a manager when the team's really not doing well, and it gets to these sticky periods that Russell Martin's went through. And I just think that Steven Gerrard, he's as safe an option as you can get. I think he ticks a lot of boxes in that regard, and I think Derek McInnes was really similar. Now, I then look at Kevin Muscat and think, he's played in the league, he's played at the club, he's been really successful as a manager, so again, it ticks a lot of boxes. I just think Danny Rowe, having been a manager for 1 year, been 36-year-old, and in that year, obviously took Sheffield Wednesday under really difficult circumstances, but finished 12th in the league. I don't think it looks to me as if it's a body of work that merits the job. Now, again, could be proved wrong. He's worked with some fantastic clubs, and he's worked at clubs that you can see how big the pressure is to win every week, so that might replicate into what it is at Rangers. But I actually said as well a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, that I think such was the distaste toward Russell Martin, I think Rangers fans are happy with whoever they get in, and that's not even turned out the case either.
I mean, specifically in Danny Rowe, Roger, before we even get to Kevin Muscat or anyone else, he wasn't in the he withdrew from the running last week. You know, that's the bit we've not got round to that yet.
Yeah.
So I remember at the time, which was understandable, people saying, well, he's probably taking himself out the run because he knows he's not getting it. That was the theory. Yeah. You know, Kevin Muscat's going to get it. Danny Rowe saves a bit of face, takes himself out of it, and all of a sudden he's wearing the tie and he's.
You can understand it from Danny Rowe's point of view, because Danny Rowe's standing at Ibrox on the training ground tonight. Danny Rowe's manager of Rangers. It's what a day this is for Danny Rowe at 36 and his second job as a head coach or a manager, whatever they're calling him. This is a wonderful day for Danny Rowe. So congratulations to him. But John and other Rangers fans, I imagine, will be thinking, hang on a wee second, on Friday night, this guy wasn't good enough to be Rangers manager. Don't take our word for it. That's Rangers board's point of view. And now, maybe they've been spooked on Saturday by the protests and by the performance and by the failure to beat Dundee United, and they've thought, we actually can't wait for Kevin Muscat. Who was that other fellow with this, you know, dismissed the other, we'll need to get back to him. That's no way to run a railroad. If he wasn't good enough last week, then he's not good enough this week. And if you're not going for Kevin Muscat, you need to try and get the best guy in.
What if he surprises you, John?
I can't honestly see it. I mean, You've got Kilmarnock on Sunday, and then following that, you've got Celtic in the semi-final League Cup. It's just going to be, if it doesn't work for him, it doesn't work for him. And it won't just be protests against, I mean, Celtic have got protests against their board. At this moment in time, we had Russell Martin, and then we've got Thelwell and Patrick Stewart. They need day two out as well.
How would you sum up the search, Andy, and how we got to this point?
Just crazy. It really was crazy. And again, it just looked as if Steven Gerrard was going to be the man. He was going to be, well, we're going to be talking about his return at the football club. That broke down for whatever reason. Apparently tax reasons, which I don't believe in. And then Kevin Muscat's then looks as if he's going to be appointed. That broke down, apparently, because he can't start right now, which again, I don't believe in. And then they go back to the man, Danny Rowe, who of course seemed like the second or third choice and who previously ruled himself out for the job. So, and again, I touched on it by all accounts. Been told he's a really good coach. I worked under Michael Beale, who for me is the best coach I've ever worked under, but it didn't transpire into being a manager. So we'll soon see if that's going to be the case again. Wish him well, and he's off to a fast start on Thursday.
Anyone out there fully on board with the Danny Rowe appointment, let us know. It's a good time to call. We will get to you on next.
Your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on the day. Rangers' search for a new head coach was completed. Danny Rowe is the man. He will take charge of the club for the first time in Europe this midweek. Let's go to Gordon, who's in Airdrie. What's your reaction to that, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm disappointed, to be fair. If I can take a step back from the very beginning of the process, you know, you've got Steven Gerrard flying 4,000 miles to meet Andrew Kavanagh. Now, you're not going to tell me that the conversations haven't happened before that
to get the deal done. My opinion is, and this is just mine, obviously, the deal's been agreed. It's been passed to Kevin Fitelwell. That was the whole deal. And it's fell through, the same as Muscat. So I think Fitelwell always wanted Danny Rowe, and he's got him in the building now. Now, there's loads of theories I could think up about this. Is he getting a kickback off it, the same as he did with the 6'4" striker that scored one goal?
But unless you can prove that, Gordon, I would ask you to maybe take it back.
It's not yours. I understand that. But for me, for Rangers to move forward at all, you need to give a farewell his son and another guy that's with him before they move forward. Danny Rowe could be a great guy. It might work out great. But they're just, for me, I've got a conspiracy theory around farewell about how this has all came about.
And do you know what, Roger? Whilst we're not privy to negotiations, so we'd always kind of urge a bit of caution, and we don't know specifically what's gone on. Where I would understand Gordon and the other Rangers fans, there is so much here that doesn't look good. We've spoken about optics or perception, whatever. Does Steven Gerrard fly to London for it then to become a timing issue? That is perfectly understandable that people would be sceptical, like our esteemed colleague Mr. Halliday is, of that. Then how does Kevin Muscat negotiations get to the stage they do for then that not to go through either? How does Danny Rowe withdraw from a process, then become the head coach? I can't even remember, 5-6 days later. So Kevin Fairwell and Patrick Stewart may well be sitting listening and thinking, you're all wrong, you've all got it out for us, and we're being hard done by in this. But the Rangers fans are finding that hard to believe.
The optics are terrible from Rangers' point of view. They spoke to Steven Gerrard, who the fans wanted, and they didn't get it over the line. They then go to other people. Danny Rowe rolls himself out. On Friday, Kevin Muscat looks to be getting the job. They look content to wait for him. Everybody knew what his schedule was. I admire Kevin Muscat's loyalty. If he wants to stick with Shanghai Port, get him over the line for back-to-back titles, I think he's doing the correct thing by them, and good luck to him. Then from Sunday, suddenly they're not willing to wait for him. Suddenly Danny Rowe, who had been disregarded through the week, is the top candidate. Not for me, Gordon. It doesn't look good. Last year when the 49ers bought into the football club, there was real excitement among Rangers fans that a new era was about to be upon them. I don't think they've made one major call so far that you could say, I'll tell you what, that's really good, you know, because the chief executive who was appointed just before they came in is hated by the fan base. The sporting director is hated by the fan base. The sporting director has added to that by appointing his son to a job. Now, listen, his son might be excellent at his job, but the optics are terrible. They have spent the second largest sum of money in the football club's history on a striker who not only has not scored a goal yet for Rangers, but I think scored, what did he get? They get 2 and 3 years or something at his previous clubs, or three and 2 years.
Scored a goal in 28 months.
Can't get into the team. They've appointed Russell Martin, who the fans didn't want and jeered at half-time in his first pre-season friendly. Had to get a police escort out and was sacked after 123 days. And now they have come upon an even younger, even less experienced head coach to try and lead this Rangers team out of the mire. And by the way, we're at the end of October and they still haven't won a league game at Ibrox. The only league game they've won is in the dying seconds at Livingston.
I'm not sure I can remember, Andy, and it might just be a recency thing, but a managerial search, especially at a club like Rangers, where there's so much focus on who the guy is who gets the job, that on the day he gets the job, actually much of the talk is just very quickly about how it got here. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, not even necessarily about Danny Rowe being terrible, although some people think he will be, other people will have other views, but just very quickly wanting to look at how this decision was reached rather than the fact that it has been.
And no wonder, given how prolonged it's been. And again, I touched on it before, I think a big part of that is the fans' frustration towards Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fairwell, which I don't think is going to go away anytime soon. So I think for Rangers' perspective and Danny Rowe's perspective, they want to try and get this first game out of the way, and it's coming pretty fast. It's coming on Thursday. But you know what, Gordon, as much as, you know, Rangers getting the right man or the wrong man, I'll try to get someone for the job, can it get worse? Can this get worse? I know we're saying this every week. But not won a game at Ibrox in five months. How can that even remotely continue?
Andy, can it get worse? They've used six main defenders this season: Tavernier, Souter, Giga, Cornelius, Ahrens, and Magoma. Four of them on loan and two of them are out of contract in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it can get worse, because they've got a recruitment department that the supporter base do not trust. The recruitment department is going to have to find them six new defenders and probably guys further up the pitch as well, and maybe a striker that can score a goal.
Well, it's funny that you actually missed one. I mean, you were talking about Kevin Fellwell's CV, a body of work at Rangers so far. One of them is a 3.5 million signing in Fernandez, who hasn't made a matchday squad in 2 months.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, it's all going great. Gordon, thank you. What about Billy on the other line? Are you any more enthused, Billy, about Danny Rowles' appointment?
It's a joke, quite honestly. My opinion is the two recruitment, Fellwell and Stewart, should be put out the door. They cost Rangers millions of pounds in compensation for bringing Russell Martin in. They went for a cheap option. I'll tell you who they went from. Because Gerrard was speak up for his sale. And I don't doubt Musket, it was the same kind of player I remember when he was at Rangers all the years ago, would speak up for himself. So basically he brought his pal in. He brought in one of his pals in where he can dictate the pace, where they wouldn't get away with Gerrard or Musket. And see, end of the day, they had an under-19 coach at running Rangers. They couldn't have got Neil McCann for two games. You might come in and settle the ship until we get this other manager in. It's a disgrace. They're a poor embarrassment. And the two of them should walk the day. Because they went for the cheap, easy option, their pal.
Well, I don't know if they're pals. I don't know what the connection would be, Roger and Andy. And this might all be very unfair on Danny Rowles. Danny Rowles might have loads to say for himself. Danny Rowles might have a backbone made of steel. Again, it's back to that thing about perception, optics, the structure. He is another head coach. He's not a manager. Do you read into that?
Me personally, I don't, but I must say I do hate this head coach tag. I mean, you're just the manager, that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm no bored what you want to be called. You're the Rangers manager, and you're right, you know, I still hold my hands up and say that I wanted Russell Martin to get the job and I was wrong, and I'm sure other people have wanted somebody to get the job and it's been wrong. You never know until they're in the door. So Danny Rowles could end up being a brilliant appointment for Rangers, but like Roger just alluded to, the word optics, the optics aren't great at how Rangers have got there. And again, I just think his body of work as a head coach, I just don't think, seems to me as if it's enough to merit the job.
Roger, what do you make of this? Because this is an accusation that they'll all have to shake off, and I don't know how, but this notion that Steven Gerrard wouldn't have fitted into the structure or wasn't willing to, Kevin Muscat wouldn't either, but Danny Rowles will, and he'll do what he's told. Again, might be completely unfair on Danny Rowles. Don't know him as a character, might have way more about him than that, but I don't think Billy will be alone in that being his feeling tonight.
If Kevin Fellwell and Patrick Stewart ever put themselves up in front of the mainstream media, they would face these questions, because you can understand Rangers fans who think this is a nice cosy arrangement. They're just going to get a yes man in who'll do as he's told. You know, the recruitment department just gives players to the head coach and the head coach has to coach them, rather than the head coach really having a big say in all of this. The recruitment thus far for the previous head coach was appalling, and now the same people are going to be in charge of the recruitment for the next head coach, Danny Rowles. So it doesn't really give you any encouragement that things are going to improve anytime soon. Stephen Smith tried to do something with those players at the weekend and needed a Jack Butland save at the end to get a point at home to Dundee United. So, you know, if you're a Rangers fan, you would have been far more comfortable, for me, and listen, the previous callers, John Gordon, Billy, have all said the same, with a Steven Gerrard or a Kevin Muscat, a guy with a body of work behind him and with the courage and the experience and the determination and the confidence and self-belief to say to Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, actually, I don't like that decision. I think we're going to have to do something else here.
Billy, is all of this maybe a bit unfair on Danny Rowles, though? What, I mean, what if he's excellent?
Well, hopefully it is. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to be there. But I can only judge what I can see, mate. I've been watching football for 40-odd years. To me, the guy's no won anything. We're not a project. We need a manager. We've spent all of our money, so we need somebody to come in and manage that team. We feel like we're all Russell Martin ways in the second half. Sat back, we played all right in the first half and gave a sloppy goal. Big Souter stood in front of the keeper. The keeper can't see nothing. What was really surprising me, if Muscat was coming in 4 weeks' time, we'd have had an Ireland manager for 4 weeks. We got a European game coming up, we had a league game, and then the Celtic in the semi-final, and they couldn't get MD in for a month. Right, Muscat's fell apart. But even before that, they never had MD in place. And I don't believe the boy, Stevie Smith, did nobody there helping that boy, threw him under the bus, all because they can't any forward thinking. They know better than everybody else. We know our project. We need a football manager. We would better have thrown £500,000 at Hearts and gone for McInnes, because he is a manager.
The only thing about the categories that we put managers in, you know, Billy says we need somebody that's won something before. I mean, Stephen Gerrard hadn't won something. I know what you're going to say. He's Stephen Gerrard, maybe the aura, the leadership. But he was also only 2 years older than Danny Rowe is, right? Philippe Clement, I forgot his name briefly there because they all come and go so quickly. Philippe Clement had won things. He was in the Kevin Muscat mould, and I don't mean big, baldy and scary. I mean, you know, of that age bracket then, if you like. Whatever it means, carried himself in a certain way, had won things, had won titles. It just feels like because Danny Rowe hasn't won anything, but like your Rangers, you know, you're going to have to go for an imperfect appointment.
Stephen Gerrard, a bit, and they won't like the comparison, a bit like Neil Lennon when Neil Lennon first came in at Celtic. They were rookie managers, but they knew what it was to win trophies at big clubs. They knew what was required. They knew what the structure needed to be. They knew how the dressing room needed to be run. They knew what level of player was required at these football clubs to win. Neither Russell Martin nor Danny Rowe has ever sort of been in that situation before. Their win percentages as managers, nothing like what Rangers need. You know, Michael Beale.
But that's what I mean. How could Danny Rowe's win percentage at crisis hit Sheffield Wednesday be satisfactory for the Rangers job? It couldn't be.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that shows why it's not. Danny Rowe's body of work where he was is fine. That doesn't prepare him for the Rangers job. It's like you getting a plumber in and asking him, he's a really good plumber, you knock me off some shelves. No, I'm not a joiner. It's a complete. What he did at Sheffield Wednesday is completely different to what's required for Rangers.
That's not his best analogy.
Rangers,
it's better than the Honda Civic.
Rangers not unique because it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. Rangers won the European final 3 years ago with a proper manager in Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who had won titles in the continent, who had played at the top level, who had played at Rangers during good times, knew what was required to win things, knew how to run a dressing room, knew the standard of player that was required at a club of Rangers level. Russell Martin didn't, Danny Rowe didn't, and I think the thing that should worry Rangers fans the most, Gordon, is many months on, Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart don't seem to have learned any lessons and seem to be bumbling down the same cul-de-sac again.
Well, listen, he's worked at Bayern Munich, so he's worked for a big football club. Mm-hmm. So he does understand big club expectations, but he's never been that figurehead. He's never been that man at the helmet deals with that pressure. If he wants to know the pressure, he can go back to Bayern Munich and think, you know what, you're in Scotland's Bayern Munich and they've won one league trophy in 14 years. That's the situation you're in. You need to go and improve it. And you never even met Walter Smith. Walter Smith's the best Rangers manager of my generation. Hadn't managed a game when he took the job. So you just don't know. But I do feel like what we said about Russell Martin, where the fans been a little bit uneasy about the appointment and the pressure that he's under straight off the bat, I do feel as if Danny Rowe's going to be under the same pressure.
But again, you mentioned Walter Smith. Walter Smith had won a league title as number two with Dundee United. Walter Smith had been at a World Cup final as assistant to Alec Ferguson. Walter Smith had worked for 5 years under Graeme Souness, winning every single trophy in Scottish football. He knew the football club inside out. He knew the level of player that was required and how to run the dressing room. Nobody at Rangers since the 49ers have come in can say that.
Thank you to Billy. Not a lot of love out there yet for the appointment, but maybe that will change with Lewis, who's going to come up after I tell you about this. £600,000. What a sum of money that is. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate for £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You'll get 15 entries if you text YES to 61025. Or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday, so don't hang around. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. We usually get a bit of optimism on a night that a new head coach is appointed, and I'm sure it's out there somewhere. So let's see where we land with Lewis, who's on the line. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, I'm great, pal. I'm fine.
Good. What are you thinking about Danny Roll?
Listen, I'm not coming on to say like I'm his biggest fan, and he's just a wonder kid. But all I want to say is, give the guy a chance. See the absolute toxic atmosphere at Ibrox and the fans, and just give the boy a chance. And with the fans, Patrick Stewart and your Kevin Fairwell, they both only need to go. The fans have got to still protest against the two, get them gone. But Danny Rowe, give the guy a chance.
Will he, and I'm asking a lot of you, Lewis, to speak on behalf of the full Rangers fan base here, do you think he will, do you think he'll get more of a chance, whatever that means, than Russell Martin did?
Nobody knows. You've just got to go and see what he can do and then judge on what you see. That's all you can do now. See everybody coming on the bandwagon. I've been at work all day. I've not been on social media. I've not been doing everything. I've literally just come in. I've come on social media there, and all you see it is, oh, here we go. It's Russell Martin number two. Oh, it's Russell Martin with a better haircut. How do you know that? That's no fair to just pin that on that boy. That is absolute honking behaviour. Give the guy a chance. That's all you can do. I know it's not everybody's first choice, but this is the choice that's happened. Hopefully he's not just a yes man to Kevin Fairwell. Nobody wants it to be a yes man. Hopefully he's not a yes man. But you just got to give the guy a chance. That's what I've got to say. He's worked under Hansi Flick. Look at him at Barcelona. Rangers are nothing like Barcelona, but I want him to kind of play the kind of football that maybe he's watched under Hansi Flick, maybe influenced under Rangers. You've just got to give the guy a chance, you know what I mean? He's not everybody's first choice, but coming on and slaughtering him and just saying he's going to fail and just saying like he's this and that, he'll be a job by January. You can't just say that, you know what I mean? That's no fair in the guy just to walk into that. I get where the fans are, I get what we're up and armed, I get what it's nowhere near the Rangers quality that like we deserve, and what we are getting now is the fans need better, but you know what I mean? You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's put it to the guys. Andy, what do you think about the sort of the backing that Danny Roll will get, or the leeway or the...
Yeah. Well, you asked Lewis the question, do you think he'll get more of a chance than Russell Martin? I think he will, because Kevin Fell and Patrick Stewart at the club. Right. Because I think that is what, like I said, the shift of frustration towards Russell Martin is now firmly on Kevin Fairwell and Patrick Stewart's back. So I think Danny Roll, which probably to his benefit, might go a little bit under the radar for a period of time. But listen, we've seen this movie before. If we're 2 months down the line and Rangers have not won a league game at Ibrox, has went from 5 months to 7 months, that grace period isn't going to last all that long. I don't think any Rangers fan is expecting Danny Rowe to come in and win the league. I might be wrong, but even though Celtic have got their struggles just now, I don't think he's under that type of pressure that I think Russell Martin should have been at the start of the season, given how much money they've spent. So I do think he'll get more of a chance, but like I says, that will only last for a certain period of time.
Because what we learned then from Russell Martin, Roger, he would tell you that the Rangers fans didn't ever want him in the first place, and that accelerated all this, and maybe it did. However, it could have been solved up to a point if you just won some games. Just win some games at the start.
This is my advice to Danny Rowe tonight.
Wear a suit.
No. Hey, listen, he could come in an old trackie if he wins games of football. The previous manager lasted 123 days because he couldn't win games of football. He won one league game as Rangers manager in the 94th minute at Livy. It's not good enough. Danny Rowe, if he wants to stay for the 2.5 years of his contract and beyond, needs to win games of football. He's not inheriting a particularly strong Rangers squad. It's one that will, again, lose all the loan players back to their clubs. There's guys, senior players out of contract, as we discussed, coming up. It will need another reshape again in January and next summer. It is an enormous task because the team's sitting sixth place in the league at the end of October with one league win. It's not a good Rangers team. Danny Rowland has his work cut out. I wish him well. Lewis is right to wish him well. But the only piece of advice, and Alec McLeish mentioned it last week, and he did a piece in The Sun, and he said when he took the Rangers job, Walter Smith took him out to dinner and gave him one piece of advice: just win. And that's our advice to Danny Rowland tonight. If you want to stay in the position, just win, and it doesn't matter how you do it.
Can I ask Lewis a question? Lewis, where do you stand? I hear this a lot, the quality of Rangers squad. Where do you stand in Rangers' current squad that a manager's about to inherit?
Wait, who would you say is good enough at the team right now?
Just in general, I think everyone's, we see it all the time, he needs to get his own players in January, and there's no doubt that Rangers' squad has glaring holes in it, but in terms of do you feel as if there's plenty of players there that he can work and improve?
Well, for me, an improvement player for me, Finlay Curtis is a young... I've got a lot of belief in that young fella, and I think he should be getting time at that club. Does anybody agree?
I think he's a decent player. I think it says everything about where Rangers are just now that people are placing such stock in Finlay Curtis. There's not a single player, and Andy can argue with me here just now, there's not one single player in the Rangers squad would have got into that UEFA Cup for Europa League final team 3 years ago. So that tells you the deterioration in the strength of the Rangers squad in the space of 3 years.
Why do you ask, Andy? Do you think there is... Because generally, if we're being very general, a manager gets... And maybe we'll get on to something with Celtic later on. When the manager really comes under flak is when the squad is perceived to be better than the job he's doing with it. Is that the case?
Well, the reason I ask this, and I'm probably in the minority here, I think Rangers squad isn't as bad as made out. Am I saying it's brilliant? No. I think they have certain players that can be improved and worked on. I think a big one that I'm watching myself personally is Rothwell. I think Rothwell started the season really poor, came under criticism and rightly so. I think the last 3-4 games that he's came off the bench, I think he's made an impact look better. I thought he was much better again at the weekend. Taylor Asgard, as I've continually said, I've been pretty critical of him because I think there's more there than he's shown. I think he showed more again at the weekend. Oliver Antman got the most assists in the Eredivisie. He can't be as bad as we're watching. He just can't be. And again, I must admit, I thought he was a slight improvement. Derek Cornelius has played 30-40 caps for Canada, was at Marseille. For me, at the minute, looks far too soft for the Scottish Premier League. But can he improve? I think he can. I still think there's players there that a manager can improve. Do I think they have glaring holes, as I said? Yes, I do. I think, and the crazy thing is, they've spent £11 million in this department, but I'm still looking at number 9 position and thinking, have they brought in better than Cyril Dessers last year? No.
Right, thank you to Lewis. A bit of positivity on the Danny Roll appointment. What about James and Govan?
Positivity for me? Absolutely not. I've got two questions, guys, and it's nice to be on your show again. I was on around about July time. I actually came on to speak about the fact that Martin was going to be an absolute disaster. And I said at the time, and I was slaughtered the next day, everybody saying I was a Celtic fan. All this kind of nonsense, right? The apathy in the Rangers support is off the scale now. Honestly, when do we start looking at the ownership here? If you handpick two Celtic directors or Celtic-minded people and put them in place at Rangers, they wouldn't have done a worse job. That's a fact. But when I went to the game on Saturday, I haven't been for a while, right? Because I was so disillusioned, absolutely gutted. But I watched the old 5-1 game many, many years ago, and that was an absolute iconic game where Rangers were... Rangers, that was the old Rangers. We won 5-1 against Celtic, absolute classic. And I went to the game on Saturday, and I was absolutely enthusiastic because obviously Muscat was probably taking over at that point. So it was a bit more calm, right? So the point I would make in the football, just before I go back to the point about the ownership, on the football side, and I disagree with Andy a little bit because I was watching the team on the first half, were actually really good. We weren't excellent, we're really good, but we still never put the game to bed. Dundee United never created one chance. But in the second half, the first 30 minutes, all they did was kick us off the pitch. The manager sent them out to physically kick us off the pitch. They took 3 bookings, and then we physically wilted, and it was stemming for the midfield. And that's where I disagree with Andy, because I don't think our midfield's good enough at this moment in time at all. That's where we're losing games. And we're not creating anything either. But, you know, the two goals were wonderful goals with Dundee United, but they physically took control for that first 30 minutes of the second half, where they never even had one chance in the first half. So it was incredible. And then we managed to get back in it near the end to equalise. We were never going to get the winner. We just weren't going to get it. We're still weak in so many departments. And the players that have been getting signed are terrible. For me, terrible. And you can say there's improvements, but they're not good enough for Rangers standard to be winning trophies. Now, getting back to the ownership, when did the Rangers fans start thinking there's something suspect with these owners? Because, listen, it wouldn't mean, could Mike Ashley be in the background here doing something to try and hurt us?
Jeez, there's a theory I haven't heard in a while, James.
Well, it's a theory. But come on, there must be some Rangers fans thinking this, because this is a major... I mean, how can you possibly get so many things wrong?
I'll probably stop short of the... in the interest of time, let's stop short on the Mike Ashley theory, Roger. It's creative to say the least from James. I get what he means in the sense that everything that's happened in the last couple of months at Rangers would have been bad enough. It would have been bad under any circumstances. But to think that it came against the backdrop of so much excitement and optimism about a takeover. Remember some of the things you heard on this show. Remember some of the things you read from Rangers fans. Yeah. Remember how high the hopes got after that takeover. To be here on the 20th of October is quite something.
It's quite something. Andy made the statement earlier on, you can't think it can get any worse. I was talking to Christopher from Ayrshire, my friend, earlier on. He made a very good point. The fixtures have been really kind to Rangers. Rangers haven't been at Celtic Park, they haven't been at Pittodrie, they haven't been at Tynecastle, and they haven't been at Easter Road so far. Arguably your four hardest fixtures of the season. And they've still only managed one league win of the season. The size of the task facing Danny Rowell is gargantuan. I know Andy's making the point, you know, Asgard and Rothwell and players like that, Antman. I've seen nothing that would suggest to me that this team has the technical or psychological attributes to haul themselves out of this.
Quickly, Andy, James is talking about Saturday. Did you see anything good or anything worrying? Does it matter now?
Sorry, repeat that.
Saturday. Just how much do you read into it, if anything?
Well, again, if we're analysing the game as a whole, I thought Rangers were a lot more intense, direct, purposeful in their play in the first half. They should have put the game out of sight at half time. But as soon as Dundee United played with more aggression, more contact, more front foot, then yeah, I agree. Rangers wilted, I think the word that James used was. So I don't think there's any doubt that this Rangers team needs improvements. I think they need experience. They need a couple more bigger characters within the squad. But I still remember Ange Postecoglou, when he came in, saying, how is he going to improve this squad? 2-3 signings, improving players that were already there. Look what happened.
Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. We're a bit late. Let's see what we can do tonight. 01419511025. The lines close at the end of this break.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here reacting to the news that Rangers have a new head coach. That man is Danny Rowell. There's been a bit of a mix of reaction. I would say mostly Rangers fans not impressed with the way this has played out. But anyone else out there with a differing opinion, we would love to hear it. If it were not for Rangers managerial search, tonight would have been wall to wall on Celtic losing at Dens Park yesterday. Losing 2-0, carrying on a really ropey start to the season. Brendan Rodgers making some very intriguing comments afterwards. So there's loads to get through there, Celtic fans. How are you feeling tonight? How would you sum it all up? You've managed to fly under the radar a bit in terms of the headlines because of the Ibrox situation, but there is a big one brewing over in the East End. So get your calls in whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. You've not played very often this season, have you? only twice.
Yep. Right. I've won the same amount of wins this year that he's got coins.
Well, exactly, because I had a look down at my stats sheet and I could scarcely believe what I was seeing, with no offence to the person I'm going to mention, but because you've only played twice, it says Andy has the chance to go above Ross McCormack if he wins.
Oh, that's not great.
You're second bottom because you've only played two and you've lost one.
One and one.
Incredible.
You're only second in the Motherwell bench.
Exactly.
That's a good point. Pundit. Yeah, very good point. Miles is in Edinburgh tonight. How's it going, Miles?
Yeah, I'm all good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Is this your debut?
Yeah, very first time.
Good stuff. How do you tend to fare at home? I admire your confidence, shall we say, giving it a go against the big hitters on a Monday.
Yeah, Roger Hannah.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Haldy's usually no bad.
It's rough.
Edinburgh, what's your team, Miles?
Rangers.
Ah, I thought you were going to say Hibs or Hearts.
That cut you deep, that didn't it? You've been overlooked. You're now not even getting mentioned in the same.
It's quite right. You're only as good as your last result, aren't you? So,
I feel for him though. You're not getting a lot of game time this season. We need to at least get
Rusty.
You on him.
Could be a Rangers derby here, Miles and Andy.
The blue coin is Andy Halliday. Yeah. The red side will be Roger Hanna.
Oh, come on, I'm due a game.
It is you. I'm only kidding.
Is it?
It's blue. It's for Andy Halliday. You ready for this, Miles?
I'll take Andy Halliday on.
Right, good. 30 seconds going on the clock. We'll give Andy something else to listen to, just so that you've got us to yourself, Miles. Your 30 seconds starts now. Who was the last team Danny Roll managed?
Sheffield Wednesday.
What car did Brendan Rodgers compare Celtic to?
A Toyota.
Angus Gunn plays for which team?
Sheffield United. No.
Who was the only Scottish Premiership player sent off at the weekend?
Pass.
Before yesterday, in what year did Dundee last beat Celtic at home?
1988.
In what city are Cove Rangers based?
Peterhead.
Glasgow City have been drawn against which team in the Europa Cup?
Pass.
Which Hibs player has the most senior Ireland caps?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes.
A few tricky ones in there. You ready to go?
Yes.
Your time. You start at minus one. Starts now. Who is the last team Danny Roll managed?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Which car did Brendan Rodgers compare Celtic to?
Honda Civic.
Angus Gunn plays for which team?
Nottingham Forest.
Who was the only Scottish Premiership player sent off at the weekend?
Jaden Richardson.
Before yesterday, in what year did Dundee last beat Celtic at home?
1988.
In what city are Cove Rangers based?
Aberdeen.
Glasgow City have been drawn against which team in the Europa Cup?
Sporting Lisbon.
Which Hibs player has the most senior caps for Ireland?
Oh, Shane McGrath.
Okay. Miles, what do you think?
Yeah, you beat me.
You beat me. He knows it. You got the bit between your teeth there.
I needed that.
You were like a man on a mission, a man with something to prove.
I needed it, yeah.
See if Danny Roll is anything like you. Rangers could win the treble.
I want for two.
They can win the treble.
That's what I mean. See if Jons Bertel Askew ever decides to put you on, that's kind of what I'm expecting. And you run about, kick everybody, header everything, block everything.
To be fair, you've shown this season 30 seconds as your kind of expert
I tell you what though, no squad numbers, no mascots, no stadium names. They were right up my street.
Right, let's go through them. The last team Danny Roll managed was a nice easy one to get you off and running. Sheffield Wednesday, you both got it. Andy Halliday starts on minus one, so Miles keeps the lead. Brendan Rodgers compared Celtic to a Honda Civic. Miles, not a Toyota. Other car brands are available. Andy Halliday equalises. Angus Gunn plays for Nottingham Forest. Andy Halliday goes one up. Jaden Richardson was the only player sent off. Are we okay with that red card? Do we want to dispute it in any way?
No, I think that's one we would agree with.
Red card. And I don't think anything's a red, but that's a red.
That's true. Must be GBH if you think it was a red. Andy Haldy's he's streaking ahead, I'm afraid, here. Miles, you did know that 1988 was the year in which Dundee last beat Celtic at home, but sadly for you, so did Andy. Cove Rangers, you're roughly the right neck of the woods, Miles, but it's Aberdeen, so Andy keeps stretching his lead. He even knew Sporting Lisbon is who Glasgow City got, and best answer of the lot, Jamie McGrath.
Wow,
there is no chance I would be plucking that out.
Who else did they got?
Hardly anyone. Warren O'Hara, but he's not been capped at senior level.
I didn't even know he was Irish.
That's outstanding. Going for the 10.
How many to go?
Two. Okay.
I've only had 1 10 before.
Do you know what?
You've had a hat trick this season.
What a bounce back.
I've got sympathy for you because quite often I look down at the remaining questions and I think that they're easy. These two are really tough.
Don't be a stadium and a mascot or a squad number.
Which Scotsman got the assist for David Beckham's halfway line goal?
Oh, come on.
It's not much of an assist, clearly. Let's just roll it to him.
Wow.
Yeah, tricky. And by the way,
Brian McClair.
Yes.
Is well it? Done. Oh, celebrate with him.
Brian McClair.
First guy to him to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. The last one, so. You will hate this question
no,
as well.
It's a
and
stadium.
It's to do your 10. No, it's worse. Buchanan's Toffee used to sponsor which championship club?
Oh, I know. I don't.
Buchanan's Toffee.
Gee, how do you know that?
For the 10. He knows everything.
Greenock Morton.
Oh!
Is it?
Oh, I'll show you that is.
No way.
What made you say that? Because there used to be millions.
I feel as if I've
always confectionery related.
I was going to give you the clue, but I couldn't do that sign you did at Capello when you get sent off. Well done.
Oh, finally. Is only your second ever 10?
Second ever, yeah.
Bounced back. Well done. Miles, listen, you couldn't get your victory tonight, but it's hard to beat that, is it not?
Yeah, it's hard to beat that.
Oh,
it's good.
Miles.
Miles ahead.
Can I just say something?
Of course you can.
Well, you're doing well in here, Andy, and your appearances.
That is true. But yeah, listen,
that is true.
He's got no appearance bonuses this season, but he does have.
I'm now the same amount of appearances as Beat the Pundit wins this year.
That is true. Two appearances.
And you're only two tens away from a coin.
Oh.
Is that a thing? Like every hat trick?
Because
I'm desperate for it.
It is now. It is now, yes.
Right.
Roger
okay.
Hannah got his coin, so listen, well done. Congratulations.
And I'm above Ross McCormack, more importantly.
Back in the winner's circle. And climbing that league table. Well done, Andy Halliday. Right, plenty more to come, I'm sure, on Rangers. In fact, a big press conference, I'm sure, will take place tomorrow with Danny Roll and others. So there'll be loads more throughout the week. But it's incredible. We've got to 7:15 before addressing Dens Park yesterday. It started with tennis balls and bouncy balls. It ended with references to Honda Civics and Ferraris and two Dundee Eagles in between, consigning Celtic to another defeat. A remarkable afternoon. Let's get the thoughts of Andrew, who's calling all the way from Bergamo in Italy. How are you, Andrew?
I'm not too bad, Duncan. Yourself?
Oh, good, Dave. What are you thinking about yesterday? Can I just tell you a very quick story on people getting my name wrong, right? I can at least accept Andrew because it's my first and second name round the wrong way. Yes, people do it all the time in the show. Andrew's maybe a bit nervous. I can forgive him. I hit a real new low last week. Andrew's going to be so sorry that he kicked me off on this. So, you know, I've been no well, right? Uh-huh. I've been unwell. Not that I want to share my medical history with the nation, right? But I wasn't well. I ended up in hospital feeling pretty rough and I got one of those lumbar punctures, right? Ever had one of those?
No,
nope, that is.
Thankfully not.
So, I'm not a doctor, but they stick a needle in your spine and take out some spinal fluid. But the key is to stay really still during it. And she kept stressing to me, please stay still, don't move a muscle. And I'm thinking, I better not here. I want to be able to walk out of this hospital. So she's got the big old needle in and she's saying, you're doing great, that's it, stay still. Donald, you're doing brilliant. She kept calling me Donald. Well, I've got this needle in my spine. And obviously I wanted to laugh because people always get my name wrong. But they usually go Duncan. They don't usually go Donald. And I'm sort of like trying to stifle my laughter. Well, she's got a big needle in my spine.
Did you move?
Oh, I don't think so. I think I'm fine. And now Andrew has rubbed salt into the literal wounds by getting my name wrong.
Brilliant.
Anyway, enough about me, Andrew. What about your team? What about your team?
Yeah, not great. I was actually more than the game actually yesterday. It was more along sort of the general situation. The way I see it is there's two big egos in the place, Rodgers on one side and the board on the other. And I don't know, it seems as though until something gives, I just think Celtic are just going to be in this stuck in where they are or possibly on a downward spiral. And it seems to me that the easiest one to give for the benefit of the team, the supporters, the club might be Rodgers, as much as it might pain me to say it. And I can't see the board going away anytime soon, as much as possibly things do need to change there. And I was just wondering what the panel thought might be a potential solution, because I'm at a bit of a loss.
Go on then. Power struggle, big egos. Is yesterday about more than, has it very quickly become about more than a 2-0 defeat?
Yesterday's really poor performance. We've seen Celtic lose. Celtic got to Tynecastle this weekend, and I remember Celtic losing 4-0 at Tynecastle 8 or 9 years ago, and it was at the end of that 67 game unbeaten run when Brendan Rodgers was manager. and nobody saw the defeat at Tynecastle and the performance at Tynecastle coming back then, Gordon. I think people would possibly have seen this coming. I think that's now six times in the last 14 games Celtic have failed to score. I don't need to tell you guys, they beat Motherwell 3-2, Maida scored in stoppage time, they had to come from behind with a helping hand with a Motherwell goalie. They weren't very impressive then. They weren't impressive against Kaira Almaty. They weren't impressive in a dreadful Old Firm game at Ibrox. Compared to recent seasons under Brendan and under Ange Postecoglou, they look toothless, they look one-paced. I think they've got good players. I think they can emerge from this slump, but they need to emerge from it reasonably quickly, because as I said in the show last week, there's a run of games coming up for Celtic that might well define their season. I'm not sure whether Andrew will agree. Tynecastle on Sunday's huge. They've got a Premier Sports Cup semi-final against Rangers at Hampden, which is always huge, and having taken 1 point from six in Europe, Sturm Graz and Midtjylland are big games as well. They need to get out this slump now. Brendan Rodgers said yesterday he needs to sort of, you know, coax them out of this slump, and he does. And you know, the signings, I think, have only flickered and flashed a wee bit. They haven't convinced me, and perhaps what's more worrying is some of the mainstays who have been outstanding for Celtic in recent times as they've won leagues and won cups, they're not performing just now either.
What do you think, Andy?
Well, I agree with Andrew in the respect that the board are obviously coming under some heavy criticism. Some will say, well, deservedly so. But it does feel like Brendan Rodgers and his players are kind of getting away with it scot-free at this moment in time. Now, I do think that narrative's kind of changing a little bit, but I would be very, very surprised if Brendan Rodgers was relieved of his duties between now and the end of the season, or walked away from his duties from now to the end of the season.
You think he'll be here May?
I think he'll be here May. I don't think he'll be here June.
Sure.
So I do think that's how it's going to pan out for Brendan Rodgers.
We've seen this before. You mentioned Walter Smith earlier, and Walter Smith last season, first time around, they announced early in the season he was leaving, and everything just sort of unravelled from there. Do players sense, does it have a negative impact in the dressing room, Andy, if you think the manager's leaving at the end of the season?
I think it can for certain types, but I'd like to think that, to be honest, I do think that Celtic have the type of characters that still know what they're playing for and still want to go into any game, regardless who a manager is, and give their best and try and win football games. But I would have more of an issue with my manager if he said the comments that he said after the game, because I just found them nothing short of bizarre, given... I think a lot of the friction between Celtic fans, players, manager, board, I don't think Brendan Rodgers is helping it with some of the fuel that he's firing. And I think particularly for the comments at the weekend, with all due respect to Dundee, if you're a Honda Civic, what a Dundee?
I'm going to actually play those comments very soon. Let me just get Andrew's thoughts though, and to elaborate, Andrew, on your feelings. Do you feel this is unravelling? Will unravel, could unravel at that stage, or is this a blip?
I think if it's not addressed very quickly, I think it could all unravel. I think the next coming games, obviously the Hearts game is key now. But yeah, I think...
What do you think addressed looks like then? Because you asked the guys, you got any idea? I mean, it just doesn't seem like a quick fix, does it?
It doesn't, but I get the feeling that if the board aren't going to change, like with all the supporters protests and things, then as much as it might pain me, it might be an idea to remove Rodgers from his duties now. He's not going to walk away. He said that I don't know how many times, but it might be a case of, is that the way to salvage something? It almost seems as though Rodgers maybe trying to spite everything by in terms of the selection, maybe, and I think it just seems to be a power struggle that I think something has to give, and if it doesn't give quickly, then I think it all unravels, and I would rather it gave up now or they found a solution now rather than wait until March and April next year, kind of thing.
Thank you very much to Andrew. Our Andrew alluded to those comments made by Brendan Rodgers. They were quite something. If you haven't heard them, I'll play them for you, and definitely looking for your reaction coming next.
number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here at 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. I've got a full time teaser. Let's not dwell on it. Let's go quickly through these because so much happening on the phones. It's a good question, actually, from Ryan in Preston. Or is Preston his surname? I don't quite know. It's been a lot of name confusion as a theme tonight on the show. Mm-hmm. We'll call him Ryan. Can your panel name the last eight players to score a hat-trick against Celtic or Rangers? So it's four from each. So the last four to score a hat-trick against Celtic and the last four to score a hat-trick against Rangers. Quite tricky.
Dembele.
Four.
Celtic against Rangers.
Yes, well done.
Lauren Shankland.
Show me you're working.
For Hearts against Celtic.
Well done.
This is a tester for time frame. Ivan Sproul?
Nope.
Recent than that. That's a good one then. Now, quick. Can I just double check?
Any competition.
So Europe counts as well?
Correct. That's what's making me think.
Gerassi?
Nope.
No?
Who?
Gerassi? Dortmund against Celtic?
It wasn't him. It was.
Was it?
Adeyemi.
Adeyemi. Okay, we'll get back to it. That's three already. Great question. Full time at Clyde1.com. Worth bearing in mind, Shankland's was the first domestically since 85 against Celtic.
Yeah.
So you might want to adjust your thinking. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers talking about the car situation at Dens Park last night. It was quite something. He was obviously speaking on the back of 2-0 defeat, first since 1988, and here's what he had to say.
As you can imagine, bitterly disappointed with that. We had enough of the ball and enough into and arriving into the areas often enough, but we just failed to show that that bit of quality that allows you to get the goals that you need, and that's been the that's where we've suffered up until now. As I said, we lost a lot of firepower, a lot of goals out in the team, and there's no way you'll go into a race. And we're given the keys to a Honda Civic, and as you get take off, say, I want you to drive it like a Ferrari. It's not going to happen. So until something changes, I have to find the solutions, because, like I said, goals, speed, everything has come out of the team, and we need to find a way to be better. I just said that this is where you really have to be a man. You know, at Celtic, it's great from the outside when you look in and you're winning trophies and playing great football, but you've got to deal with pressure. And also, the result and performance today isn't good enough. You know, it's not acceptable for Celtic. You know, I've come here numbers of times, numbers of years, and that today is not the level. So we have to find it.
Let's bring in Stephen on the line and get his reaction first. Stephen, what do you make of those comments?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi,
I am absolutely astounded by a media savvy Brendan Rodgers to come out with such a cataclysmic analogy. You know, that's, I think, as a manager, and I'm sure Andy will say, being an ex-player, your manager can come out and talk about your attitude and your endeavour. But that there was about ability. That was a slant on ability. For anybody that read that or heard it, that's what that meant. These players aren't good enough to play in this team, and I have to use them. Absolutely cataclysmic. Honestly, flabbergasted for as I say, he's media savvy, and he knew. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be two ways. He either wants to be sacked, right, and he's starting the ball rolling on it, because if he has a terrible run of games in the next 8 weeks, he will be gone 1,000,000%.
Tough night for you, Andy Halliday. You're now an ex-player. I get why Stephen fell into that trap.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
On a more serious note, is his reading of Brendan Rodgers' comments one you would agree with?
Completely agree. You can only put yourself in the dressing room when your manager said such comments. And I mean, you think of the amount of players in that Celtic dressing room that have won a whole lot for the football club and a whole lot for Brendan Rodgers, to be described in such a totality of a comment. I just found it completely bizarre. And I was saying just before the break there, to come after playing, with all due respect, Dundee in the Scottish Premier League I just find, honestly, but I think, listen, I think if he said it after Braga, I still think it would be a bizarre statement and one that I don't think would go down with players. But I think coming after a game against Dundee, who you absolutely trounce in terms of your resources, the quality of players you've got, the infrastructure at the football club, I just found incredible. And you know what? I'm now sitting on, I'm saying to you guys, I'm looking forward to Danny Rowe's press conference tomorrow to see what he says, the questions that are going to get thrown at Kevin Fairwell and Patrick Stewart. I'm really interested in follow up on this, because this will get brought up again in Brendan Rodgers' next press conference, and it'll be interesting to see his remarks about it, because he has to realise what he said was wrong.
What do you make of it, Roger? Because it feels like such an obvious response. Everybody's got the same response. Every single person has taken the analogy and thrown it back and said, no, you are the Ferrari in Scottish football.
Stephen's absolutely hit the nail on the head. Brendan Rodgers is one of the most media savvy managers I've ever come across. In the time I've dealt with Brendan, he has represented himself extremely well. He's represented his football clubs extremely well, whether that's Celtic or Liverpool or Leicester or wherever. He speaks with authority. He speaks well. He very, very seldom throws his players under the bus. And the reason for that is he knows he needs to go back to the players the next week. Now, Brendan's going to need to go back to these players against Sturm Graz on Thursday, against Hearts at Tynecastle on Sunday, against Rangers in a cup semi-final. These players will be furious. And I don't just mean, like, you know, there's young players in that team, young guys come off the bench, inexperienced guys. Through that team, it's Callum McGregor, 500 games for Celtic and however many, you know, trophies. James Forrest, the most decorated footballer in Celtic's history. Kasper Schmeichel, 120 caps, won trophies, won a league title at Leicester and won an FA Cup and Community Shield at Leicester. You know, Kelechi Iheanacho, those players will be furious. They'll be absolutely furious at this.
And yet the squad is lacking though, isn't it? But is it about the strength of the comment and, as Andy said, the totality of it?
100% it's about the strength of the comment and the totality of it. I wonder if he'll...
Great word that from you, actually.
I wonder if he'll step back from it when he does his media on Wednesday ahead of the Graz game. I think it gets down as one of those things that he's probably had that in his head and he's then said it out loud.
It's funny you say that, because it actually maybe isn't that bad a comment if someone else says it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the kind of comment you'd expect to hear on here, maybe.
100% from a pundit, from one of the callers.
Although, sorry to contradict that, maybe not when you consider you're not being asked to do anything other than beat Dundee and, you know. It
made people sit up and take note yesterday. And I can't remember a comment from him that made people sit up and take note quite as much since, remember the Terminado press conference, Gordon? And people thought, oh, aye.
Are you worried about the impact this has on the players, Stephen?
I think if you're a player at Celtic at this moment in time, your ability has just been called into question. Now, I get it. Celtic's not been firing on all cylinders. And listen, the Dundee game, things can happen. It's very difficult to break down teams, and I wouldn't take a single thing away from Dundee, because they played fantastically well. They played fantastically well at Ibrox at the start of the season. So, I mean, both the All-Firm teams have got an onus to try and break these teams down. These teams are allowed to play whatever means necessary to get their points, and they did that well. But I just think at this moment in time, when the players probably need lifted, right, that for me has probably drained every single fight, the final droplets of positivity that was in the squad will be gone by now. Because if somebody said that to you in your workplace and described you like that, you'd be looking for a new job.
Let's thank Stephen for his time and get Kevin's take on the other line, see if he agrees, Kevin.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Hi, Kevin.
I totally echo what Stephen just said. A couple of things I would probably add to it in terms of the comment were, I came on the show after the home leg against Kyra. There was all the noise around the transfer window. And I said on that call, it was Gordon and I can't remember who else was on, sorry, but it was Gordon and somebody else. And basically I said, Rodgers was starting to distance himself from the performances at that point. He's continued that narrative right up until yesterday. The couple of points I'd made around the Honda Civic analogy is, he's trying to make out as if we're setting an unachievable expectation. Nobody's asking him to drive a Ferrari. We're asking him to drive a Honda Civic like a Honda Civic. He's not even managing that just now. Dundee, Celtic shouldn't be getting beat off Dundee. I know in one-off games it can happen. But this narrative that he's pushing that we don't have the quality in the final third would work if we were drawn every game, nothing each. But we conceded two goals to Motherwell. We were lucky to win that game. And in actual fact, in that game, Motherwell, to me, were the better side. I was at the game. Motherwell played really good football. Were brave, arguably too brave for the equaliser, but cut through as it will at times. And then yesterday, we're not really creating much, but we're now conceding as well. So the nothing each against Hibs, you get away with that because we're going, well, we're not really creating, but we're now conceding. And he's trying to set this narrative as if the expectation's unrealistic. But in actual fact, if you look at it on paper, Celtic should be beating most of the teams in Scotland. But if you actually look at it a wee bit further as well, he's no scored in six games, right? Which one was at Ibrox? Everybody has scored at Ibrox. Everybody in the league, I think, has scored a goal at Ibrox, with the exception of Hibs in the League Cup. But domestically, they've scored. We didn't score against Hibs at home in a game we dominated. Failed to score twice against Kaira in two separate matches. Yesterday's another one, and another one escapes me. But
Braga.
I think
Braga at home in Europe.
Sorry, Braga. Well, we probably didn't. VAR done is there, but we'll let that one go. But I think where he is just now is I don't fancy him on Thursday against Sturm Graz because of the negativity. The home atmosphere, I don't know if Andy played in the Motherwell game, I could be wrong, he maybe did, but
no.
Yeah, the atmosphere was dreadful. It has been all season. Me and my boy go regularly. The atmosphere's dreadful. It's really flat. Sturm Graz, I don't fancy it. And Tynecastle now is huge. And Hearts will absolutely fancy that. Like, they'll absolutely fancy it to go 8 points clear. 8 points clear after what will it be, 8 or 9 games. I genuinely think, away from the Rodgers thing, Hearts have such an opportunity this season.
It's a strange thing, Kevin, because I was actually talking to Chris Boyd earlier on for a separate interview, and we were talking about Rangers' situation, and I said I would make 11 changes for the Rangers team in Bran on Thursday night. I would make 11 changes for the Celtic team against Sturm Graz. The Europa League, yes, it carries kudos for Celtic and Rangers, and you can say it carries a bit of financial importance as well. I think where Celtic and Rangers are just now, they actually need to focus on getting their things straight domestically. And
they're not tired. It's off the back of an international break.
No, but listen, a lot of players are tired because they've been round the world, Gordon. I would rest them all and have them ready for Tynecastle on Sunday, because honestly, I think Tynecastle on Sunday in the League Cup semi-final against Rangers could define where Celtic go this season. I don't know whether Kevin agrees with that or not.
Andy, I think the comments stand alone because it's very difficult to put up a counter-argument against what you've said and what Kevin and the previous caller saying, that surely if you're a player, you're not going to like it. If you're talking about Celtic not having quality to beat the other Premiership teams, then fans of the other Premiership teams are going to struggle with that. What about the core, though, is the core of Brendan Rodgers' point, in the sense that, is it personnel? How much responsibility does he take as the manager? I've asked this a couple of times. It's a genuine question. I think it comes across like a defence of Brendan Rodgers. It's not. This time last year, Celtic were playing excellent football and domestically, and it was not a problem. Low blocks, creativity, whatever. I assume Brendan Rodgers hasn't deliberately gone away from that, just an assumption.
Yep.
So what has changed? Why is it as bad creatively as Kevin says now?
Yeah, well, personnel have obviously changed. I think, so what I will say is, you know, the Honda Civic statement, I actually think Celtic's front three as a personnel are good. I think Iheanacho's a good signing. I think Tanecki's came in and pressed on the left hand side. I think Daiza Meida was the player of the year last year who's not hit the heights. If I'm being truly honest, I used to always say, when I compared Rangers and Celtic last year, I used to always say, I know how Celtic are going to play because they do the same patterns I play, and every team that plays Celtic know they're going to do it, but they can't stop it because they do it quick, they do it at a tempo, and they do it because they have quality players. I think they've lost a little bit of that, and to be honest, a big part of it, I'll say why. I don't think they've found the perfect dynamic in the midfield three yet. I still don't think they know who that bestie is at this moment in time. And dare I say it, fantastic player, fantastic seven for Celtic. I think they miss Greg Taylor at left back. And they obviously miss Alistair Johnson on the right hand side. Alistair Johnson and Greg Taylor contributed 15 assists for Celtic last year. They were such an integral part of how Celtic built up the game and how they performed in the final third with an inverted runs and attack in the back post. I don't think they've seen that so far this year. I don't know how many assists or goals are Kieran Tierney and Antti Raunistö and these guys have. I'd be tempted to say none, maybe one, but I just think that whole dynamic of their team and what was so successful for them last year, I don't think they found it this year.
Roger, I see why Brendan Rodgers feels the way he does, in the sense that, to go back to it, his way of doing things was perfectly fine last year and it's now not working. So I can see why he thinks it's the personnel, but I can also see why fans like Kevin and everybody else say, but you're the manager and you need to fix it and you might need to find new ways.
Brendan Rodgers is an elite manager. He's one of the most successful managers in the history of the football club. He was a penalty kick away from another treble in May. But, you know, things can turn quite quickly, Gordon. The guys who have come in, whether, you know, they're not as good as the guys who have gone out. You know, at the start of the year, Celtic, Kyogo, Kuhn and Maida. Then Jota come in for Kyogo type thing. The guys who are playing just now aren't as good. They missed Maida the weekend. They missed Johnson. You're absolutely right. Kieran Tierney, wonderful player, but he's not contributing at the minute the way Taylor did last season. Nygren in flashes, okay, but when Engels was playing well, and that's a while ago, when Engels was playing well, he was probably contributing more than Nygren's contributing at the minute. Kuhn's better than Yang, who played yesterday. Jota is better than Tonekti or Balak Wisher, remember him?
And then if there's a drop off in the other ones that are already there, then you've got, you actually do have a quite a big gap from
McGregor's
last season.
Not playing as well, and he's due a downturn.
Can you even extend that to Carter player. Vickers, Schmeichel, you know, the list probably goes on.
The goalkeeper's not playing as well. Carter Vickers and Scales, you know, Kevin was talking about the goals that have been conceded. Carter Vickers and Scales do not look as solid as they did at spells last season. You know, the way Congreve get outside Scales for the second goal yesterday. So there's a lot of things not going right at the same time. The one thing I would say positively is Brendan Rodgers has a body of work behind him that would lead you to believe he can take Celtic out of this slump.
Thank you, Kevin. Make some fair points and very well done on putting them across. That was Kevin and Giffnock. You two quickly on the teaser. The last four players to score a hat-trick against Celtic and the last four against Rangers. You've got Dembele for Celtic against Rangers, Shankland against Celtic, Adeyemi against Celtic.
Jamie McLaren.
Did you play in that?
Yeah.
Five all?
Five all, yeah.
Left back? Jimmy Nicol, manager?
I can't actually remember where I played.
Anyway, any others?
What about Mo Salah?
Liverpool
7-1 game against Rangers.
Correct. One more guess, please.
I don't know. Another one, is it? Messi?
Nope.
There must be something that Barcelona game.
Did Neymar get three?
He did not. We'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls if you so wish when we return.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
The Pundit Predictor. Honestly, I've loved this. I did think we would get some more success early on, but there we are. If you think you've got better predicting knowledge than our pundits, you can give it a go every Friday. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. All you do is guess the... I say all you do. Nobody's won it yet. All you need to do, though, is guess the outcome of three SPFL games and you win cash. And it's now a lot of cash, because on Friday Davey only got one result right. He predicted Rangers to win and they didn't. He predicted Celtic to win and they didn't. Although I must say, it would be a tough weekend for a Cootin, wouldn't it, if you look across the place.
Virtually impossible.
There was a few tricky ones.
You think Aberdeen going to win and it's St Mirren Falkirk going to win and at Motherwell,
even down the leagues as well, and England. Yeah, there's a few. Anyway, so good news, we've added another £100, which means this Friday we're up to £1,000. Three games. You can pick the three favourites, and if they win, it is £1,000. So it's the Pundit Predictor on Clyde One Super Scoreboard every Friday, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. So very much looking forward to seeing if we get some success. Let's go back to the phones. In fact, quickly on your teaser, we're looking for the last four players to score a hat-trick against Celtic and the last four against Rangers. Dembele, Moussa Dembele and Jamie McLaren and Mo Salah against Rangers, Lauren Shankland and Adeyemi against Celtic, Dortmund.
Well, we said Messi and Neymar, so we're going to Luis Suarez.
So Messi did, but he's not in the last four.
Okay.
So that's your problem.
Martin Boyle
against Rangers.
Yeah, semi-final.
Remember it. That was waiting on Steven Gerrard to arrive, was it? No.
Waiting for Gio.
Waiting for Gio to arrive, sorry, yep. Okay.
It's two to get.
Two against Celtic to get. I'll give you some thinking time. Billy's on the line. Hi, Billy.
Hi there. How you doing, lads?
What are you thinking about Danny Roll, Billy? You happy? Or happy enough?
He wouldn't have been my first choice. No, I mean, I was on last week. No, I mean, I said, look, I was looking forward to Kevin Muscat But at the same point, I mean, I don't think Danny Rose is going to be another Russell Martin. You know what I mean? Because I don't think there's anybody else that bad. But at the same point, you know what I mean? My nephew is, you know what I mean? He's a season ticket holder at Sheffield Wednesday. And he said he'd done brilliant to keep them up in the championship. And then they started off well in his second year. And that's when basically the, you know what I mean, the stuff hit the fan. You know what I mean? And Sheffield Wednesday went into free fall. But Barry Bannon speaks very, very highly of him. You know what I mean? And in my opinion, one thing the Rangers need is a wee bit of German efficiency. You know what I mean? I think everybody could do with that. And this team needs it. I mean, so in my opinion, I mean, he's there. Get behind him. I mean, whether things go wrong, I mean, you might get a few bad results here and there. I mean, but if I mean on the balance of play, I mean, at times some of our players were running about like headless chickens. I've seen schoolboys act better, and they just didn't know what they were doing under Russell Martin at all. You know what I mean, so I can't definitely see him being as bad as Russell Martin, and I think he'll bring something to Ibrox.
Well, there is that. Won't be as bad as Russell Martin. That's
damned by faint praise.
But that is where Rangers are at the moment, looking for an improvement. Andy, what does your old teammate Josh Windass say about him at Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, speaks very highly of him as well. Said a fantastic coach, loads of detail, loads of clarity on what he expects for his football players. By all accounts, really enjoyed his training as well. But I must sort of stress, Gordon, I heard the same things with people that worked with Russell Martin, so you just never know. And again, said it myself, Michael Beale, for me, is the best coach I've worked under. So when he was appointed Rangers manager, I was delighted because I knew what he could do in the training field. But it just shows how different the role of being a manager is. So for as good as a coach as Danny Rose seems to be, obviously I still think he has to prove himself as a manager at this level. Listen, hopefully he does so.
It's difficult, Roger, because those lessons from Russell Martin and various other managers, but he's fresh in the memory, they are important. You almost get to the stage of, what's the point in trying to project? You know, I've seen people today saying Danny Rowe's team, they'll definitely run, they'll be fit. You know, so was Russell Martin's team meant to. But that's what we're here for. We're here to almost try and predict and speculate and analyse what we've seen before and how it might impact things going forward. This whole notion that he can't be as bad as Russell Martin, we were joking there, damned with faint praise, but is that the reality? The bar at Rangers is very low, and I know you laughed earlier and sort of said, you know, it can get worse. But seriously, any semi-functioning Rangers team should be able to climb this table.
I agree. When you look at what Rangers will be spending on wages, they should be probably second in the league, shouldn't they? And they're not. They're sixth in the league, having won one game. I think, you know, people are nowadays, Gordon, absolutely everybody is, they've all got philosophies and they've all got principles and they've all got ways of playing, and it's not enough to win. You need to win with a bit of this or a bit of that. It's utter nonsense. You just need to win, because if you don't win, you get sacked. Look at Ange Postecoglou, 39 days. You don't win, you get sacked. That's modern day football. So Danny Rowe just needs to come in and win or he'll be sacked. And, you know, Andy's talking about what Josh Windass is saying about the way he gets appointed across, the way he does this, the way he does that, the Red Barry Bannon stuff and Lee Bullen stuff in the papers last week. The biggest thing for Danny Rowe is to get into the dressing room and convince those players that they're as good as the Rangers recruitment department thought they were when they signed them, because they're not playing to the wages or the transfer fees that they come in on.
Very quickly, we're going to hear from Danny Rowe tomorrow, along with Andrew Kavanagh and Kevin Thelwell. What do you want to hear? And you've only got 30 seconds to answer that question.
Well, how long's that press conference?
How long's a piece of string?
What's happened in this recruitment process? You know, why wasn't Steven Gerrard not the manager? And then why wasn't Kevin Muscat the manager? Give some clarity towards it, whether it's up to us to believe it or not. But loads of questions need to be asked that I'm not going to get
Danny
through.
Danny Rowe will get the easiest ride of any new manager at a press conference in the history of football. He might not get a question asked of him. All the questions will be directed at Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart.
Looking forward to it. Very quickly, we're looking for two other players that have scored a hat-trick against Celtic in the last four players to do so. You've got Dembele against Rangers, Jamie McLaren against Rangers, Martin Boyle and Mo Salah against Rangers, Lauren Shankland against Celtic, Adeyemi for Dortmund against Celtic. Two more.
Try to think those games against Real Madrid and Atletico.
Nope. Yeah, Antoine Griezmann.
You only have to go back to last season in the Champions League, do you not?
Villa 4-3 Watkins.
Rodgers.
Morgan Rodgers,
of course.
Even two of the finest football minds anywhere in the Scottish game, as you two are, you can just forget the last one. It was 2020. Remember when Celtic were doing a whole series of bizarre things?
Mm-hmm. COVID season.
4-1 they lost against Sparta Prague at Celtic Park. Nah.
Hloszczyk.
Can't see it.
Adam Hloszczyk.
No. Is that a real guy?
Yeah.
Oh, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No.
Patrick Schick.
No. Lucas Julius.
No.
Julius. No.
No.
Okay, thank you, Andy Halliday, and to Roger Hanna. A busy night, and it is going to be a busy week. Is it ever anything else? But seriously, Danny Rowe speaks tomorrow for the first time as Rangers manager alongside Kevin Thelwell and Andrew Kavanagh. You will not want to miss the reaction to that on tomorrow night's show. And we'll be 2 days away from both of Glasgow's big crisis hit teams, apparently, going into European competition as well. Rest up, we'll need it for tomorrow.